welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 326. Somebody's having a good time. I think that's right. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty Mug himself.
Sadly, my drink is not that cold.
Well, I thought it'd be appropriate.
I approve of that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, I like that one. That was pretty good, too. Frank, by the way, thanks for making me poop myself. That was fucking really loud.
Oh, I told you. I warned you.
Fair, I'm going to have to get up and leave at some point and clean up on, you know.
You pooped your pants.
He pooped out of his ears, apparently.
Right. Hey, I think we're going to have a really good show for you guys tonight.
We always have a good show with
us. Not a lot of news, which always means for a good show. So why don't we get right into it, get that out of the way, and then we'll get into some fun stuff. So without further ado, Eric, go first.
All right. This is from – actually, it's from rpgamer.com. Yeah. Rivals, no. RPG Cast is our rivals. They're just part of RPG Gamer.
Wait, we have a rival?
No, we have no rival.
Not really.
No, look, nobody cares.
This is news to me.
Mm-mm. Anyways, Borderlands heading to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. While many RPG Gamers hope for news of Borderlands 3, 2K Games has announced Borderlands the Handsome Collection. A collection which will feature both Borderlands the pre-sequel and Borderlands 2 with all the DLC for both games included. Which is funny because I thought that Vicky Poole's biggest problem with pre-sequel was that it felt like a DLC pack.
Mm-hmm.
But
I actually don't know. Say, whenever I think of the pre-sequel, I keep thinking of Tales from the Borderlands. I actually don't know what the hell the pre-sequel is. I know it's supposed to take place before Borderlands 1 and after Borderlands 2. Like,
no,
I think
it's before Borderlands 2.
Okay, so it just takes place between the two games. So pre-sequel. Mm-hmm. I knew that the name was specific. You know, it applied to its but I don't know if is it just more Borderlands?
Yeah, that's all it is,
man. Okay, so it's just, you know, it's still a first person shooter, like, you know, slash RPG type game.
Yeah.
So anyways, it will release on March 24th in North America with the European release on March 27th, and it'll be $60. And there's going to be a limited edition called the Claptrap in a Box Edition, which includes a remote-controlled Claptrap that can be controlled with an app on iOS and Android devices.
Oh, boy.
And also will include 12 lithographs and a steel case, and will retail for $400.
Ooh.
Only 5,000 of them will be made.
Now, as for premium content, that's a pretty good one. I mean, like, a genuine limited edition, like, tech toy. Yeah, a tech toy.
That's what you're paying for.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, it's a tech toy that you actually can screw around with. I mean, that's.
But is it going to be one of those cheap remote controls?
Yes.
Like, if it usually that, get it breaks after the first use type thing.
$400? Yes. It better not be cheap.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, if you think about it, $250. Yeah, I mean, like, roughly $250 for a device like that. I mean, if it's of decent quality, is not unreasonable. Unreasonable. decent quality.
The quality is not going to be there, and I think $400 is asking way too much. You're catering, like, that's a PlayStation 4. Come on, man. $400, like, only people like celebrities are going to be able to afford this shit, or people with a lot of money, man.
Well, I think there'd be 5,000
of them.
Hell, if people are spending several hundred dollars on a friggin' Majora's Mask 3DS, you know, I don't think that, you know, I don't think they'll have any trouble selling through them.
Look, I honestly can tell you, those people that are spending hundreds of dollars on those 3DS Majora Mask editions have a ton of money, man. Either that or that's all they do. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Not necessarily the case. I mean, I used to collect Neo Geo games. Those things are at retail were $330 a pop.
Yeah, but that's, look, I just bought $300 worth of pot, dude. And that's
Wait, you just broke up here. It sounded like you said $300 worth of pot.
That's what I said.
That sounds like
you could have got a PS4.
Sounds like intent to distribute, my friend.
No, that's 2 ounces, man. Come on.
I'm just
2 ounces
with you, dude.
With tax and everything. No, because if I didn't get it now, I wasn't going to get it later. You know, so I'm saving for a PS4. Wipix is saving up some money for a PS4, so I'll have one of those too. But I'm just saying that's an awful lot of money.
Eventually,
I mean, plus you guys aren't taking into account. I actually need marijuana for medical reasons. So
I'm sorry. Did you say just 2 ounces was $300? I think that's more than the price of gold right now, isn't it?
No. I don't think so. I think gold's more expensive, but dude, trust me, if you don't buy ounces, you're gonna pay like quadruple that, man.
Oh yeah.
Seriously. I need to get in the sales business. This sounds profitable as fuck.
Well, come move to Colorado, man. There's plenty of business for you. I can tell you that much. But no, there's different strains that are way more than that, man. I mean, shit.
Okay. Yeah. It's expensive. Gold's price per ounce right now is $1,294.
Yeah.
How much is it?
$1,294. Oh, never mind.
Not even close was I. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. All right. Break.
Although it is worth significantly more than silver, because silver is only $18.26 an ounce.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That's some good investing.
Looking at the
right
goldprice.org.
And didn't you know, did you guys know that silver's actually in less quantities than gold is in the world right now? Like, there's less gold in the world than there is than gold.
Silver is not regarded by anyone as like the standard for anyone's economy. Actually, I'm not sure if anyone's still on a gold standard for their economy.
I don't think so either.
We haven't been for a long time.
Right. Let's move
if
on.
Anyone is, it's probably backward ass North Korea.
Let's move on from economics and talk about this story from Silicon Area, guys. Operation Abyss crawls to North America and Europe this April. Sci-fi dungeon crawling RPG Operation Abyss, New Tokyo Legacy. Why do they always have to do it? Operation Abyss is perfect. Don't give me New Tokyo Legacy. God damn it.
The
original game was called Operation Abyss, New Tokyo World Record.
Yeah, I like to do what Yahtzee does when it comes to that. Anytime there's a colon in a game title, you just and whenever you're saying it out loud, do a. just add in as like a sound of like a mild retch.
Right.
I think Yahtzee is kind of how they come up with these names. They just put some names in a jar like their dice and roll them out, and whatever comes up, it's like that's what we're calling them.
They have like
Yahtzee the person, not the game.
They have a 100-sided dice with all kinds of different phrases, and they roll.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. It'll be released for PlayStation Vita on the 14th in North America, 17th in Europe. NIS announced this morning. You can watch the trailer for the game. Break, you already put the trailer in chat. So it looks interesting. I saw the trailer. It's something I might play. So there you go. Anybody excited for Operation Abyss? Eric, you?
I am. Yeah. I liked Experience's last game, Demon Gaze.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's...
Okay, that's why it sounded familiar.
Yeah. It looks decent. Like... I don't know. It's just one of those fun. It definitely has anime qualities to it, but it looks like one of those more mature. Like, you know how, like, what is it? Disgaea is more for. I mean, it looks real cutesy, but it's. It really is. Has some mature themes to it. It's kind of what this game looks like, you know, even though it's not really, I don't think, a strategy game, so.
See, it's kind of sad though. It's like at this point, when I hear mature themes, I usually that usually means like this will appeal
Adult
to
Swim.
14. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like this is designed to appeal to 14-year-old boys.
And me,
kind of what when I think like in my opinion, it's like if you want a mature game, like go play To the Moon or something like that. It's a very mature. I mean, it's like a sophisticated kind of game.
I think for our purposes, you guys know what I mean. Like, there's
I know, I know. It's just, I'm not saying this like that it's
not for kids.
It's like, but it's kind of sad that mature actually kind of means really. I mean, in terms of marketing speak, it means really juvenile. Just we're marketing to kids, to teenagers, even though they're not supposed to be playing it. Technically,
there's nothing wrong with a little bit of, subliminal marketing.
I know. It's just like it would be nice to have something that advertises it, touts itself as mature, right. Actually being mature. Like say Spec Ops: The Line. That was a pretty mature game.
Yeah, but I think you get what I mean. It's like
absolutely. I just felt like it bore comment.
It's not. It's not a. It's not gonna be, oh, I'm going to chop your head off, shoot you in the face type game. It's just, it's got a little more thought to it, you know, a little more.
I mean, it's like, and that's kind of the thing. It's like, you know, when, you know, in most, you know, I don't even know if it's so much in devs' minds, but in publishers' minds, mature means hatred.
Yeah, I guess.
And I was like, to me, that's kind of a shame. I think that kind of, you know, it keeps, I mean, like people talk about games being accepted as art. You know, I think that, you know, it would be nice to see mature being, you know, labeled more as something like Shadow of the Colossus as opposed to, you know, Manhunt.
Right. All right. Well, let's move on to our next. Maybe our next one will also have a mature title mug.
Oh, let me do this one.
Yep. Go for it.
Two Heart 2. Dungeon Travelers is getting a remake for PlayStation Vita. That's the whole reason I wanted to do this one. Right. The original Two Heart 2 Dungeon Travelers was released for PSP back in 2011, along with some of its characters as DLC in Dungeon Travelers 2. This week's issue of Famitsu Magazine reports that the PSP title will get a remake this April. Thanks, Game Joho. The new Two Heart 2 Dungeon Travelers will have higher resolution graphics, along with revamped 3D models for the dungeons. The report doesn't mention what else will be new for the upcoming remake, but we'll get more details on that soon. Two Heart 2 Dungeon Travelers Remake will be released in Japan on April 30th, 2015 for PlayStation Vita. A premium edition that contains microfiber cloth, a rubber strap, soundtrack album, and more will also be available. That's a premium edition?
It comes with a strap?
Oh, wow. It comes with a silicone sheath for things that we're not going to talk about.
It comes with a flashlight.
Looking at the screenshot, you have these three girls who look in vague, vague levels of sexual excitement and or distress.
Has anybody actually watched Two Heart?
I have not. The last anime I watched
was... The original visual novel was an arrow gay, but that's beside the point. Right. I just... maybe we might get this, just like we got Tears to TR 2. Alice seems to be having a thing with Aqua Plus stuff lately.
Yeah. Even though it's like this is like it doesn't look at all like the kind of thing I'd be interested in, I'm always for more stuff getting... reaching a broader audience, no matter who it is. I mean, as long as it's like, you know, what I'm trying to get across here is like, you know, as long as you're not seeing major publishers who might be bringing over stuff to the kind of a more to my liking, I guess you could say. Again, I'm being selfish about it, but as long as like, you know, Atlas or Axis Games or something like that doesn't start developing or doesn't start bringing over, you know, visual novels, I'm good. But as long as there's, you know, there are smaller publishers who are like, let's bring out these obscure titles that, you know, there's going to be a niche market for, go for it.
I don't mind them bringing visual novels.
That's kind of my point. It's like, it's publishing is not necessarily a zero sum game. You know, if suddenly like a major publisher started focusing on visual novels instead of games that I like to play. I'd be a little miffed about that.
As long as smaller
publishers are like, okay, we're going to buy licenses for smaller games that we think will find a small but loyal audience. You guys, you know, you go to town. No, there's, you know, to me.
Well, I don't think you'll have to worry about Square doing visual novels.
Sometimes I do.
All right.
They'd probably do it on mobile like they always do.
If they think it will make them money, they will do it. And then they'll have ridiculous sales projections, and it'll all end in tears.
All right.
And then we'll never get more again.
I know.
All right, break. Let's move on. We got to move on here, guys.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Hyperdimension Neptunia re:Birth 1 coming to PC on January 28th. No, you said with colons. This is a semicolon.
Yeah,
this is
okay. It's okay. No,
it's more like or something like that. It's got to be a completely different noise. You know?
Re:Birth.
Exactly. That's perfect. See, you get it. Hyperdimension Neptunia re:Birth 1 is coming to PC via Steam on January 28th. Idea Factory announced this morning. Sorry, I couldn't get that all out once. That just did the fart noise, and I couldn't get up to the column. Never mind. The game will cost $30, but for a week after launch, you'll be able to grab it for $15.
That's 10 less than the Vita version when it launched.
Rebirth 1 on PC will run at 1080p and will include voiceover in both English and Japanese. You can find screenshots on the link that I'm putting in chat.
No, it doesn't say 60 FPS, but I'm assuming that it is running in 60 FPS.
Yeah. I wouldn't assume that if it doesn't say it.
Yeah, I wouldn't assume it either.
Yeah, you know, I know. It's like it's amazing how much trouble people seem to be having with
even if they don't, I'm sure modders will do something.
Hmm. All right, Eric, what do we got next, my man?
Well, do you want me to do it, or do you want Eric to do it, or what?
I'll let you do it, Mug. Go ahead.
All right.
Oh yeah. Also, shameless plug: my review of Hyperdimension Neutonia Rebirth 2 is up on Totally GN.
Cool.
Alrighty, and the next story is Grandia 3 and Dual Hearts. And, you know, initially I read that as Gradius 3.
That'd completely be awesome.
Different genre.
Right.
Grandia 3 and Dual Hearts added to PS2 classics in Japan. Yeah. Squinito, or Square Enix, as they're also known. I call them that because they've also subsumed Taito, or they've also subsumed Eidos, so sometimes I call them Squinitotos. But Square Enix re-released Grandia 3.
That sounds like a Pokemon.
I know, doesn't it? Grandia 3, the last console game in the Grandia RPG series, as a PS2 classic in Japan. Yuki's Adventure costs 1,200 yen on PlayStation 3. Dual Hearts, an action RPG developed by Matrix Software and released in the West by Atlus, is also on Japan's PlayStation Store. Sony Computer Entertainment Japan re-released the game, and let's go out in search of... Actually, I think that's how you should pronounce the dot, the analytics. Let's go out in search of...
You're big
an earlier PS2 RPG for 1,234 yen each.
I have Dual Hearts, but I haven't played it yet.
SNK also brought The King of Fighters 94 Rebout to PS3, and it's just 1,000 yen. If you don't know what that is, I'm an old school SNK fan, so I can tell you exactly what that is. King of Fighters 94 Rebout was a quote unquote high def, and by high def they meant 640 by 480 instead of instead of 320 by 240.
Wasn't it like a 3D remake of like 94?
No, it wasn't 3D. They upscaled all the sprites and touched them up, basically, you know, to make them double resolution and added 3D backgrounds to it.
Mm-hmm. So it was like Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Similar, except it's not. I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 always had 3D backgrounds. Mm-hmm. The King of Fighters 94 originally had 2D backgrounds because the Neo Geo can't do 3D.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying in terms of like how they upscaled it.
Yeah, I mean it's still no. I mean they didn't just apply a filter on it and go from there. They basically sized them up and then individually retouched each sprite.
Yeah.
So I mean it looks nicer than that, but it's it is a 20-year-old game, so if you're into that, be aware that temper your expectations.
Yeah.
But it is King of Fighters 94 is a good game and animation.
Not to mention it's using an old ash fighting engine.
Yeah, I mean, but even so, I mean, given its age, it's still a solid game, and the final boss will kick your fucking ass.
Yeah, maybe this next game will kick our ass, Eric.
Dragon Quest V is out today on iOS and Android.
This was your segue to an RPG, that?
Can you let me talk, Brake?
Yeah, exactly, Brake. Shut your fucking mouth!
All right, Gollum.
Well, I said today, but this article is dated yesterday. Yeah. Although, technically, it was up the day before at night. So, whatever.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting.
$15.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking.
It probably plays a lot better than that shitty ass port of 3D.
Of 3D.
Seriously, don't buy the port of 3.
Wait.
Back up here. Like an iOS port of Dragon Quest 3?
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly a port because there wasn't a version of 3 to compare it to.
I remember 5 was good.
Compared to the Super Famicom port of 3 to like the iOS and Android version, it's sucks ass. It basically looks like that game, but it doesn't play at all like it. It's slower. And it's missing the animations that the monsters had when they attacked and such.
Now, okay, Frank, you can answer this.
The music sounds worse.
Yeah.
But Frank can answer this. I know you're a big fan of Dragon Quest.
I am.
Now, was it just like Dragon Quest 5 and 6 that were native to the Super Famicom?
Shit, dude, you're asking.
Yes,
me
that is correct.
I believe.
I know Dragon Quest 7 was the PlayStation game that had really ugly 3D backgrounds with old Super Nintendo looking sprites.
Yeah, I think.
Dragon Quest 8 uses that engine basically, only they tweaked it so that it doesn't look so crappy.
But then they ported the first four Dragon Quests to the Super Famicom, didn't they?
No, just the first three.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's weird. Because I remember Dragon Quest IV was like supposed to be like this really great game.
Dragon Quest IV was ported to the PlayStation, not the Super NES.
Oh, okay, maybe that's where.
And then they ported that to the DS.
Portrait mode. I don't think I'm a fan of it running in portrait mode. Also, I was talking
landscape
to
for life.
Oh, okay, like portrait versus landscape. Okay. Wait a minute. How would that even work?
It looks awful.
Well, they're trying to replicate the feel of the DS game, but
I can kind of get that.
I guess
wasn't there a mobile port of The World Ends With You that used the touchscreen like in similar fashion?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and it got rid of being able to do the rhythm game and doing the touch stuff at the same time because it was too hard. No. So they just had that on auto at all times.
Kind of lame.
And they renamed its solo remix because of that.
Right. Basically, my point about all mobile gaming is I think you, Mug, before even Eric got on, I'm just not a fan of mobile gaming. I just don't.
Well, I mean, if for an action game, no. But you'd think, like for a turn based or even like an ATB type, turn based game, it would work fine.
Yeah, it works.
I've been having fun playing Contra Evolution. It's a remake of the original Contra.
It works. I'm
an
not
action
saying,
game on my mobile phone.
Look,
is that
I'm not
based
saying
on the Wii, the Wii.
No,
remake or no?
No, it's like made by a Chinese company.
Oh, weird.
It looks fun, but I don't see how it works as a mobile game.
Look,
it plays just fine. I don't have any problems with it as far as like a shooter.
I think you kind of have to have a knack for mobile, for like mobile game control.
The more you use a mobile phone,
unless
the more
you
want to
buy
a
peripheral that ignores that.
Look, here's the deal. Like I think there is getting used to it, but it's still inferior. I don't care how many years you played on mobile, it's not the same as having a DS or a Vita or whatever.
Well, I think
other
the problem there, Frank, I mean, I agree with you, like, absolutely. But I think the problem is that people are still trying to put, like, if the trying to, like, replicate the feel of a physical console or at least a physical controller on a, just a purely touchscreen interface, and that
doesn't
work.
No, it doesn't. It just doesn't. I mean, that's just the way that it is, but
I mean, I could see playing like Chrono Trigger on a touchscreen because I mean it's purely menu based, and they did something similar with the.
It is also on mobile.
Look, here's the deal. I agree with you guys for the most part. Like you can play games. Like I was playing Shantae, and yes, I can play the game on mobile, but it's just not right. I played Final Fantasy VI on mobile. A couple others.
People had such a shit fit about this.
I hope you bought it on sale because it was not worth full price.
No, I just bought. I didn't buy it. I got the free first episode, and I did not enjoy it.
Final Fantasy VI came in episode.
So they split VI into episodic parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, weird.
I think you're thinking of Dimensions or something.
So how far does episode one go? Does it go all the way to like?
I don't remember because I didn't fucking finish it.
What I was getting at though, people had such a shit fit about the redrawn sprites and everything. What did you think of it?
I thought it looked great. I mean, shit, that's fucking Shantae. It looked great. I only thought
the characters themselves looked weird.
They looked skinny.
Yeah.
But the monster design is perfect.
It wasn't terrible. I mean, god damn it.
Wasn't that with your skinny phone. But locked also looked like he had a gut.
Mm. You know, but, I do think it's, you know, that actually that, you know, that kind of just reminds me, makes me think it's kind of funny that, you know, I can hear four notes of the prelude theme from Final Fantasy and recognize it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just don't have a good feeling when I play games. Like, I was playing stupid Flappy Bird the other day.
Why would you do that?
Why are you just playing you hurt me, Frank.
Oh, I know. Like, you need to start playing PopCap games, Frank.
Look,
you need to start playing games, period.
None of you guys have kids, so you don't
get it. I have kids.
Oh, well, then you get it.
No, he doesn't.
Well, maybe you don't.
Most normal people don't.
Apparently. My look, kids are smarter than that.
Aye. Oh, really?
Oh, shit.
That's right, it's on now, bitch.
We're not going to go down this route.
I
this
know,
route,
but
man.
Dude, I'm
because
just
I tell you what, look, for as shitty as a game as that is, it takes a lot of skill to fucking play Flappy Bird. I don't care what anybody says. That game is next near to impossible to fucking play. It's horrible. And it is. It's a terrible game, but God damn it, man.
I know. There have been articles talking about just in terms of, like, I mean, game theory is a completely separate thing. It's like a psychological concept.
Yeah.
But, I mean, talking about
not that shitty YouTube channel?
No. I like that series. But
he goes off the deep end a lot.
but my point is that, you know, game theory is like there – is a completely other psychological phenomenon, which I'm not going to go into right now. If you want, look it up. But I mean, it's. I've seen some interesting articles written about Flappy Bird and why it's successful. You know, it's like this is a terrible game, and yet people keep playing it.
I know what. Why?
I thought it was for the same reason that Candy Crush Saga was.
No, it's because it's really
Candy
simple.
Crush Saga was successful because it ripped off a better game.
Mm-hmm. Look, on the surface, this game is super simple. You just tap. That's it. Mm-hmm. Tap, 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 tap.
And Candy Crush uses an aesthetic that appeals heavily to women.
Right. I mean,
which is another reason it's heavy.
Yeah. Right.
Like heavy but here's the deal. Let's just move on from it because that's what I've been playing pretty much. But let's get on to anything from Facebook. I know Freak 5 put in something in Facebook for sure.
I hear a cat meowing.
That's my cat, man.
I think it's not mine.
I'll kill it in a second. Break, what do we have from Facebook and Twitter, if anything?
I don't use Facebook. I'm the Twitter guy. God. Let me see here. Get into the Twitters and see here.
All right.
We actually have a few from Freak 5 Chaos.
Okay.
He said that we need to start a Kickstarter involving trains.
Because
he knows how much Frank hates them. He suggested a YouTube video for us called Let Me Poop, which is a parody of Let It Go from Frozen.
Jeez.
Thank you for fucking bringing that up, Freak 5 Chaos.
The only good thing about Frozen is the, you know, is the weird Google translated version of it.
Because
that's
fact,
fucking hilarious.
Every time I can't get away from that song. Like every time I'm walking through a store, it'll be a commercial playing.
Wait, you didn't like the movie? Or are you?
I've never seen Frozen.
The movie's good.
I've never seen Frozen either. It's probably good because it's a Pixar movie, but the song.
No, it's not.
Good God.
It's a Disney film.
It's not a Pixar movie.
It's not
a
Pixar
movie. No, it's just a 3D animated Disney film.
It's not a 3D.
It's just he doesn't do 2D anymore, so yeah.
Look, it's.
No, that's weird, though. I thought Pixar was involved in all those.
No.
They have their own CG department.
I'll shut up.
It's a fine movie.
It's about fucking time now.
Jesus Christ. Look, there's. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that movie. It's actually a really good movie. There's a reason why it was pretty revered. The song sucks. But anyways, continue on. Anything else, Break?
No, that was it.
Frank, he said he was going to shut up. Let him shut up. No.
All right, here we go.
Did we do discounts yet?
No.
Now we're getting to that.
Okay.
Not yet.
We're still on news, aren't we?
No. We're done with news.
Yeah.
We're going on to Facebook stuff. Also, Freak5KS. He sent – I don't know if he created this. I think he did. It was a petition, like a White House petition for requiring
– He didn't create it. He just showed us it.
Okay. He didn't create it. Jesus Christ. I said I don't know if he created this or not. Require account.
So you would have told us.
Jesus Christ. Require. All right, I'm done. Let's go on. Moving on. All right, let's move on, guys. What have you guys been playing?
Wait, we're skipping the homie discounts?
Oh, let's go to homie discounts break.
I know we got a couple, but I've actually got one too, so I'll go ahead. On the Android market, currently Kimco is having a big sale again. They have Covenant of Solitude, Knights of the Earth, Thins. Oh. Yeah, that's weird. Infinite Dumbass. Oh, no, Dunamis. Dumbass. Bond of the Skies, Soul of Deva, Destiny Fantasia, Journey to Chrysia. What the fucking shit? Where the hell do you come up with these names? And Soul Historica are all 99 cents.
Oh, all right. Good deals.
Although that reminds me, like someone pointed out to me, like in the 90s, like when they were coming up with names for games, like they would just seem to like combine two names that seemed to have nothing to two words that seemed to have nothing to do with each other and call it a game. It's like because it was actually when I first mentioned Parasite Eve to that person, I was like, well, Parasite Eve actually has relevance within the story and like it says, you know, it ties in, but it was like there was a game for the old PlayStation 1 called Overblood, mm-hmm. and I'm just like.
I want to play that game.
And just by virtue of the name alone, what the hell can that possibly mean?
There's a character that's a robot called Beepo.
Beepo?
Yeah, and it actually does Beepo sounds.
Beepo, that's awesome.
All right, Eric, more homie discounts.
Homie discounts would be a lot of stuff that ended up on PSN that's got discounted. But I have two of them here because I'll just go over some of the highlights. For PS4, I don't know if any of you know what Kill All Zombies is or hashtag Kill All Zombies, but Aqua Kitty, which I've seen for a while and it's been on the Vita store as a PS mobile game, but it recently got a PS4 as a PSN game, so there's proper trophies and everything, but you can get it for $306. And then there's Contrast, which is $374. It's not that bad of a game, but it's not that great either. But for that price, it's probably worth it.
Contrast is decent. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like for $3. I mean, if you're at all into puzzle games, you probably get something out of it.
And then there's Cosmic Quest 2, which is $3. Nice. I might actually pick that up.
Yeah, because I mean, I haven't finished the original Costume Quest, but it is an entertaining little game. I mean, if you like Double Fine style, then you'll probably enjoy it.
And then there's Fez for $3. And then there's Guacamelee for $5.50.
Easily worth that.
Guacamelee is Super Turbo Championship Edition.
Yeah. Guacamelee is a really good game. If you're into Metroidvanias at all, it's a really worthwhile game.
Got it on the Wii U. I don't know how it stacks up with the PS4 version.
I haven't tried it on PS4 or not. I've only played the PS3 edition, which is not the Super Ultimate Turbo Hyper EX Plus Alpha edition.
My review of that version, the Vita version, is up on Totally GN as well.
Co.
Well, wait, no, that was Game Tactics. That's not
right. Oh, you just committed an egregious sin.
Hey, I fixed it.
Sinner.
All right, what else we got, Eric?
But
cast out demons.
Ollie Ollie is $3. Res of Gun is $3. Road Not Taken is $4.50. Rollers of the Realm is $4. Shadow Warrior is $6. It's normally $30, so go get that. But
you know, a game that I actually want to play, but I'm not willing to spend the asking price on is Nerdhog.
Nerdhog?
Or it's pronounced Nerdhog.
Nerdhog.
What?
Nerdhog. It's Nidhogg. It's pronounced like it's spelled in U.
It looks like a Commodore 64 game.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it's like it's you know, got a lot of, you know, subtlety to it, where the idea is basically it's like a fencing game where the idea is that you have to kind of get past your opponent and get to the point where you can be devoured by this dragon demon worm thing called Nerdhog. Mm-hmm. It's like when I first saw the name, I looked it up. I'm like, how the hell do you pronounce that? So I actually found it's like it is a reference to Norse mythology, and there is an actual pronunciation for it. It's not Nidhogg, it's Nerdhogg.
Hmm. What Anyways, else you got? There's another game called Speakeasy, which is $33. And then there's Strike Zero Director's got $4, and The Unfinished Swan is for $4.95.
Strike Suit Zero is a pretty good game.
Yeah, I might.
If you like space combat kind of stuff,
I got that on the Xbox Games of Gold when it was available.
Yeah, but, I need to renew mine,
by the way, so I can play it again.
It's kind of in the vein of Wing Commander and oh god, what was the game that Polyphony Digital did? The Omega Boost.
Omega Boost. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Colony Wars. If you're in the, it's kind of in the vein of those games.
I fucking love Colony Wars.
Then you probably like Strike Suit Zero. Except instead of just playing a ship, you're playing a ship that can also mech it, turn into a mech.
A better game than that Robotech Battlecry game was.
I heard that was awful.
Right. Anything else?
It wasn't.
There's PS3 stuff on here. It's just more of the same. But Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons is $3. And let's see, anything unique here? Machinarium is $3. Oddworld Munch's Odyssey HD is $3. Let's see. There's a game called Snarkbusters High Society.
Okay.
$3.
It's got my attention. Tell me more.
I should buy that just by virtue of the name alone.
Anyways.
You had me at the title.
Tokyo Jungle is $3. Trine 2 is $3. And for PS Vita, there's a game called
Trine 2 is $3 only on the PS3, or does that also apply to the PS4 version?
What PS4 version of what?
Of Trine 2.
It doesn't list here as being on sale. I don't think Trine 2 hit. I think Trine 2 is called Trine 2: A Complete Story, so it's a different game altogether.
Okay.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, nothing else is noteworthy. But there's a bunch of other sales on there too. Like Atlas has some stuff, and I think Axis has some stuff. You can get Daylight on PS4, which I heard
that was awful.
Better. Yeah, which is $8 here. And Murdered Soul Spect is $18. And
not worth that much.
And you can get Thief for $18 and Watch Dogs for $50. Ooh. Yeah.
Seriously, the game's almost a year old.
And Abyss Odyssey you can get for $10.
I enjoyed Watch Dogs okay, but it was, I didn't have to pay for it. It was given to me as a birthday gift.
Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut for PS3 is $6.
That is an awesome deal. Get that game if you haven't played it.
And Persona 4 Arena Ultimate Edition is $20, but if you ask me, you should just get Persona 4 Arena Ultimax. Because
I was going to say,
because I think the story of Ultimax, because I'm pretty sure the story of the first Arena game is in there.
I think it is. I mean, it's basically, from what I understand, I have Persona 4 Arena. I got it on a PSN sale.
Yeah, me too.
And it's a solid fighting game. I mean, Arc System Works makes good games. But from what I understand, Ultimax is an improvement in almost every respect.
Yeah. All right, so there's a bunch of sales. If there's any more, Eric, let people.
I'm probably gonna get Ultimax when it goes on sale.
Yeah, same here.
All right.
But Break Your Time World Tour, I thought they got delisted.
So did I, because I remember hearing about that a while back, and it was one of the things that made a big deal about.
I think it's scheduled to be delisted, but it's still in store right now.
Okay.
But you can get that for $5. So
actually, I have a game that was that Monkey Paw games. They started releasing those the original PS1 games, importing them for release domestically. It's like
actually take the time to localize some of them. But oh well.
Well, I mean it's. I mean, they're a small, very small company. But, I mean, I actually have a game
that... We've got Tomba 2, but it's a Japanese version of Tomba 2.
Guys, can we move on from...
I just wanted to say one thing, because talking about digital releases. It's like, I have a game that was so delisted, you can't even re-download it from PSN now.
Mm-hmm.
That was Magical Drop Plus from the PlayStation 1. It's like, I have a copy of it, but if I ever, you know, if my PS3 dies or whatever, I can't re-download it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't, you can't even go back to your download list and get it. I don't know what the deal was. Like, as far as I know, that game is unique in mm-hmm. that regard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. I'll just put the link in there, and then I'll make sure everybody gets it early.
Okay.
I've got delisted games just on work now.
Which one?
Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Which one? Break?
That's it for sales.
The original Double Dragon on Xbox Arcade.
Oh.
Really? Yeah. I mean, just you can't start it up anymore?
Nope. I can play like the demo version of it. That's it.
Oh, that's lame.
It reset it after like I think 2 minutes or something, it resets. I'm like,
that's
all right. So what have you been playing?
Do about it.
What have you been playing, Break?
Let me see here. I've been playing two games. I've been playing Plants vs. Zombies 2, which is amazing.
Of course.
And you should play it. if you're down with mobile games, I know you guys were just bashing mobile games, but I think this is right here the peak of mobile games.
You said noble games. I'm like, there's nothing noble about mobile.
Did I say noble? I meant mobile.
You said noble.
I made a boo-boo. I'm
noble
sorry.
Mobile.
Noble mobile games. I recommend everybody plays that game. Just anybody who played it maybe a couple of years ago, it's a completely different game now. The other game I've been playing is the game that everybody's like, why are you playing that? Assholes, you guys fucking suck. Final Fantasy 13 2 is awesome. I love this game. I sleep with it at night, cradle it close to me.
Oh,
keep it warm.
Let's move on.
I keep it warm and protected.
Mark.
Nobody's close to it.
Mike, what have you been playing?
Nobody.
I've been playing. I picked up Saints Row: Get Out of Hell, which, if you'd like, I can go into some detail about. I've also been playing The Swapper, which is a like a Metroidvania style puzzle game that was made available for free with a PlayStation Network account on PS4.
So Metroidvania puzzle?
Yeah,
game?
I mean it's. I mean, like, it has a Metroidvania style map.
It's not an action game. It's all about solving puzzles.
No,
adventure game.
Yeah, I mean it's not even an adventure game. Like, it has the basic puzzle mechanic is that you have this device. I mean it's 3D graphics, but it's 2.5D, like in the same vein as like Bionic Commando on the PS3 and Xbox 360. Hmm. But you have this thing where you hold the trigger down and you can position a clone of yourself. And and the clone behaves exactly the same way you do. It's like you push right, it will move right. Push left, it will move left. And you can also
God, I've always wanted my own bitch.
well. but you can also hit another button to switch positions where you target one of your clones and you switch positions with it. And you can have up to 4 clones at a time, and you use this mechanic to solve various puzzles. And
bitches
unlock.
Get to work. I'm gonna chill.
I've seen that game.
Yeah, and
that
I
that does
I,
sound really cool, though.
It is a neat little game. I expect I know what the twist is going to be, and that's that I will guarantee you. I would bet money that you're going to find out that the clones that you've been creating have consciousness and you've been murdering your clones of yourself the whole way along. I'll bet you that's what is going to be the case when you finally reach the end of the story. Saints Row Get Out of Hell is Saints Row 4 with, instead of just gliding and running and jumping, it's running, jumping, and flying, like full-on flying with wings and everything, which look really nice if you're into wings and stuff. But it's essentially more of Saints Row 4, which is not really a bad thing, with the same kind of bizarre sense of humor and some really entertaining weapons, like a sloth, like the weapons based on the 7 deadly sins. Like, you have a sloth-o-matic, I think it's called, where it's a chair that you sit down in that fires missiles. Like, in order to fire missiles, you have to, like, your character will reach down, pull the little arm on the side of it to recline the chair, and it fires missiles out from underneath it. I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. I mean, it's like if you like Saints Row, Yeah, if you enjoyed Saints Row 4 and you're willing, you know, and you want more of it, then
I'm so behind on Saints Row. I like the series, but I'm very behind.
Yeah,
I might just like skip ahead.
You should get caught up. It's good stuff. Saints Row 3, you know, it was kind of divisive because it's a lot sillier than Saints Row 2 was. Mm-hmm. But it's still a good game in its own right. But once you play Saints Row 4, it's very hard to go back because Saints Row 4 introduced superpowers. Yeah, like really like extreme mobility, after which it's kind of difficult to go back to a strictly GTA style where you're either on foot or in a vehicle.
Hmm. All right. Is that it, Mug?
Or? Just those two games, because I finished Dragon Age Inquisition and I haven't really felt the urge to go back and start again, play another 90 hours.
All right, Eric, what have you been playing?
I've been playing more of F, Tale 2, and I did Citizens of Earthra review, and the review is up on totallygn.com.
All right. Cool.
It's a Frankenstein review, because I did review multiple versions of the game. The 3DS version is the weakest of the bunch.
I recall you mentioning, I think I saw you tweeting something about that.
Yeah. All right.
The problem isn't the content of the game. It's just the quality drop is astounding.
Yeah, I do remember you tweeting something about that. Like, if you have a choice between one or the other, you were like,
they had to compress the game instead. You know, they didn't have the money to make a version for the 3DS that was to its specs, so they compressed everything to hell down, and it suffered massively as a result. In my opinion, that it actually negatively impacts my experience with the game.
Mm. All right. Okay, so that's what you've been playing. I already mentioned what I've been playing. Let's move on to Stinkos. Anybody got a Stinko this week? Eric, you have one?
No.
Break, you? Yes, no, maybe so. Mug, you?
I do. Apparently the...
I do. I was muted. I'm sorry, but go ahead, Mug.
Okay. No. You were
first. No. You started. It was. You go ahead. Right. I just wanted to say that. That was me.
Well, I was just going to say that my stinko is the United States Senate for apparently voting that man-made climate change does not exist, in spite of all the evidence saying that it does. So it's nice to know that we have our finest minds on the fucking subject.
That actually reminds me of something else I wanted to bitch about. Now I have two stinkos. Thanks for reminding me.
Blame Ted Cruz.
All right, go ahead.
One of the first acts of our newly holy Republican Congress, basically. I shouldn't say holy, but majority majority Congress. One of the first acts was to again vote against the criminalization of abortion after like 20-week trimester or 20 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, they're trying to do that here in South Carolina too.
That's what they're like. The Republicans always tout like they're the less government and such like that, but their first acts, the things they're always trying to do are always,
and they want less government.
Social
and by
justice,
that they mean
stuff like that.
Government regulations that would impact their own.
This
pockets.
Is what I don't understand. Why do people that have nothing to do with other people really give a shit about what they do to themselves? You know what I mean?
Well, a lot of it is religious motivation. I mean, like it originates with.
That's what I think it mostly is financial. Churches make a lot of money, and I'm guessing they pay their.
You know what they should
do? They support a lot of Republican.
Here in South Carolina,
babies will go to churches, and there'll be more people that
you
can get.
Look, listen,
them,
guys. Right? You know what they should do if the Republicans or whoever wants to sponsor that bill and want to seem like I'm bashing Republicans, because there are some good ones.
I know. I'm the one who's always bashing Democrats, and I don't want to sound like I'm defending Republicans.
Here's what I'm saying. If they want to make a bill like that, why don't they just come out and say what they mean, like what Mug was saying? You know, okay. Abortions are illegal for Christians. There you go. Problem solved. Woohoo!
Yeah. Well, the thing is, here in South Carolina, there was recently a subcommittee bill. A friend of mine an acquaintance of mine, a friend on Facebook, actually went and testified. You know, put forth scientific evidence and you know, regarding this, talking and what they're touting as this anti-abortion thing, you know, for this anti-abortion thing is that the notion of fetal pain, or not fetuses can feel pain, and like, I'm sorry, that is not the issue. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it is a complete distraction from the actual issue. I mean, have you guys heard about the whole thing about bodily autonomy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. For those who are not aware, I'll give a very quick rundown. Bodily autonomy is basically the idea is that nobody can use your body, any aspect or part of your body, for any reason without your express permission. Nobody can take your blood without permission. Nobody can use nobody can use you as any form of life support. You know, even if it would support, or rather, even if it would keep someone alive, or even if your refusal to do so would cause someone extreme pain, without your express permission, even if you're dead, that's why we have an organ donor program. Mm-hmm. And bodily autonomy basically means that, you know, a woman can elect to deny access to her body to a fetus, and without adhering to this principle, it means we afford a pregnant woman fewer rights than we do a corpse.
Oh, brother!
And that, in my opinion, that is the game. That is the end of the story. Everything else is a complete distraction.
Mm. But I've never understood why people want to be in other people's business. I really don't give a shit what people do to themselves, as long as they're not harming me or you.
Well, politicians do it because they're getting, you know, they're getting money from businesses and churches and individuals.
I know.
They're also pandering to their base.
Yeah,
I mean, they're trying to make sure that they still have a job in 2 years. Because, I mean, we're basically talking about congresspersons.
You know what's funny is like there'll be a time when this isn't even an issue. It's not going to be in our lifetime.
It will be in our lifetimes.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Let me finish.
Sorry.
It's not going to be in our lifetimes, our kids' lifetime. But there will be a time when we're not even talking about this. Like, it won't even be a big issue. The people will just leave other people alone, and that's the end of the story, right?
I don't believe that happen, actually.
Look,
actually, people, I'm sorry.
I just humanity is just so fucked up.
Well, no, but think about
it. I just don't believe it, unless it gets wiped out and started over with. Ten years ago, though,
things changed. Would you have imagined gay marriage being legal in the majority of the United States?
That's a good point, Moria. That's what I was saying to Whippix.
Right, but just in the United States. I mean, look at the rest of the world. Like, people are being beheaded. I guarantee you right now somebody died for being gay in a different country.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, like those people that got tossed off a building for being gay. I mean, look, it's shit's still happening. But the point is that, you know, you have to – I mean – I'm not a power of positive thinking kind of guy, but
as long as being homosexual is against the major religions, I just don't see it as ever being really accepted.
But you also, think about it this way. Hang on, let me just say this really, really quick. Is that, you know, you have the religious people fighting back harder and harder because, and I think that they're doing that because they see
it's
that
slipping.
They're on their way out.
Right. And look. Look, there's this thing with
that's just in America, but worldwide.
In America. No. I mean, look at people like Malala Yousafzai. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. I mean, like, she is a world renowned, you know, like, basically a hero to women around the world. I mean, you know who I'm talking about, right? The little girl who got shot for wanting to go to school in an Arabic nation.
Okay, yes, I do her.
Yeah, Malala Yousafzai is her name. And she's an amazing person. And she won the Nobel Peace Prize, didn't she? And
The Nobel Peace Prize is – it doesn't. It's the most bullshit prize in the world.
But the thing is, the point is that she deserves it.
If we're
thinking about the principles behind the idea of it, she deserves it because she is an example to women around the world. Hell, she's an example to everyone around the world, regardless of gender.
There's always going to be religion in the world because that's the way people work. They don't.
Yeah, people are not rational.
Listen, they can't. A lot of times they have to have a crutch, right? and crutch is always religion. Always. There's never any rationality when it comes to religion, right? Hardly ever. I mean, you do have some religious scholars that are kind of reasonable, but those are few and far between. Here's my point, Breakman. The reason that I have, I quote unquote, faith, because I'm not a faithful person,
okay,
that things will get better. Every major religion has an end, all right? What is that rustling?
That was me getting the condom out.
No, that was me, sorry.
That wasn't me, never mind.
Things like, if you remember, the major religion at the time in Greece was like their Greek gods, right? Well, that's gone, right? So there's precedence for religion just going away. We just happen to live in a time where we're in two peaks of religions right now. But I think we've already reached the top of the mountain with Christianity and with Islam, right?
Yeah. In support of what you just said there, Frank, you know, the word atheist used to be applied to those who didn't believe in the Greek gods.
Right. But see what I'm saying? Like, there's a website. I don't know if somebody can find it for me. Maybe Freak5 if he listens on archive. But it's like, I think it's like deadgods.com. I mean, there are so many gods that have just went by the wayside. So the Christian God's going to go by the wayside. Muhammad at
but
some point.
Religions
go by the wayside.
And new religions are always popping up.
Right.
There's always going to be religion.
Right. But
I think it's going to become more marginalized is the point that Frank is making.
What I'm saying is the more religion gets removed from this nonsense that we keep hearing, the more it'll polarize to an opposite point of view. So maybe you'll have a religion with a lot of scientific teachings. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it'll be a little more palatable, reasonable than the earth is 6,000 years old or the earth was
the religion of Frank.
Well, yeah, there you go. I'm starting it right now, the religion.
Yeah, I think that assuming we live so long, I mean, and sad to say it is an assumption these days, but assuming we live so long, I think within 200 years, you'll see the Abrahamic traditions regarded in much the same way that Scientology is now.
Yeah, maybe, you know, it's a possibility. I just think that not in our lifetimes for sure, but I thought about this for a long time. There's been plenty of religions that have just went by the wayside because they sound crazy. Like, you can talk to a Christian or a Muslim right now and talk to them about the Greek gods, and they think they're asinine, right? And it's going to be that same way years from now. You know, people are going to look at Islam and Christianity and any other religion, the one with that alien god, what, Scientology, and they're going to say, look how crazy that shit is. You know, that stuff.
There's a saying that goes along that when you understand why you dismiss all other gods, you will understand why I dismiss yours.
Yeah. They're talking in chat about the stream, how it's going in and out. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what to say. I could try to stop it and then restart it. I don't know what's going on. I'll try to do that. Hang in there, guys. We won't talk about too much stuff in the meantime. So I'll stop it, but I'll bring it right back, guys. And try refreshing your page as well, please. Stopping the stream, guys. Yeah, you know, it's just stuff like that. My stinko, I didn't get a chance.
Well, I actually had another stinko.
Okay, go for it.
It was just a proposed law would regulate what restroom transgender students use. And this is in Kenton County, Kentucky. This comes from a local news site. Kentucky senator is proposing $2,500 penalties for any bluegrass student catching a transgender student in the wrong bathroom. The bill would require kids to use the same bathroom and locker room as their biological sex. Controversy hit some school in Louisville last year when the school allowed a transgender student to use the girls' facilities when they were born a male but identified as female. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
What the fuck is wrong with people? Seriously.
Yeah, like, and this is, again, a Republican. You know, the people who say less government. We want no, less they're, big government.
They're only interested in small government in as far as it doesn't involve what's in your fucking pants.
You know, it's so dumb. If you're talking about transgender people, what difference what bathroom? You know what they should do? They should make all bathrooms fucking unisex. How about that? Why isn't there any legislation for that? Like, women go in the stall. There should be no
issue. When I was in high school, there was a unisex bathroom. Yeah. They had, like, men's and women's, but they also had, like, a unisex bathroom, it's so too.
Dumb. It's so dumb, man. I just don't understand it. It's just ridiculous. That is a very, very
Idea of keeping men and women bathrooms separate is that because they were trying to protect from potential rapists, then rapists will go in there no matter what anyway.
So hire a bathroom attendant. Like,
what you need is locks.
If I could, if you guys are okay, like, I have a very short, like, two paragraph thing that I wrote about this very subject, about the notion of privacy and sexuality.
Go ahead, real quickly.
It won't take long. It's very simple. I am a white, cisgendered, mostly straight male. As most people have the good sense to regard what I do behind closed doors as being none of their business so long as I do it to and with a consenting adult. If I were a black transsexual who gets off on furry porn while fellating a strap-on worn by a woman dressed as Smurfette, the situation would not change. All other things being equal, my sex life would still be none of your business. Why do people have so much difficulty understanding this?
It's.
I still reserve the right to make fun of furries.
It's just.
Well, you can do that, but I mean, it's still none of your business.
I know, but I'm still gonna make fun of them.
Of course. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and I think that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%. I really don't care what people do, man. As long as they're, like I said before, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, what difference does it make? If there's no victim, there's no crime. You know what I mean? Come on.
I'm absolutely 100% in agreement with you, dude.
Stinko of the week. My stink of the week. This whole stupid ass football. I mean, it pisses me off.
Oh, God, deflate gate.
Hold on. Yeah.
This is the dumbest.
First of all, let's stop putting gate on things.
No kidding. Seriously, who the fuck gives a shit? Who the fuck who matters gives a shit?
Look, I care about what happened, but it in a way different way, right? Like, it didn't affect the outcome of the game in any shape, form, or fashion.
I enjoyed the balls joke that someone did.
I mean, wasn't the score something like 47-7 or something like that?
It was like 45-7, man. If you would have inflated the balls, deflated them, fucking.
And that's not the real scandal. The real point of the scandal is that it's New England and they're cheating again.
But how?
And
that
that's why everybody's in such an uproar. But I still think this is the dumbest of the dumb. This is the biggest waste of fucking time
I've ever seen.
Let's give more of a shit about their fucking football.
You know, here.
NASCAR next.
Look.
If you're so upset, punish the Patriots. Let's let the Super Bowl happen and then punish the Patriots.
No, let's be done with it. No, if you're really serious about punishing, punish them before the Super Bowl.
Until we have all the evidence before we punish. Everybody's crucifying Belichick and Tom Brady without even knowing if they've done anything.
No, look, it's Tom Brady's fault. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, Brake.
You don't know that they weren't set up.
Oh, dude, come
on. You know, by talking about this.
Who the fuck is going
to
set them
up? Adding to the meaningless banter.
Hold on, guys. Look, who the fuck is going to set them up, dude? Like, their equipment manager is going to sabotage them or you know.
Yeah, maybe a ref that was betting against them or something.
Oh, come on. That only helps
them.
He's
lost a lot of money on that game. He's pissed.
Whatever. All these conspiracy theories that are coming out, man. Look, it's Tom Brady's fault.
Like, I just think it's dumb. If they cheated again, punish them. But why are we so focused on this? It's stupid.
Right. If it's such a big deal, then you punish them for the Super Bowl. If you find out Tom Brady was the instigator of this thing, which I firmly believe that he was, there's no other person that could have done that, then you fucking punish them before this big game, right? But they ain't going to do that. They won't do it. You sit out Tom Brady. You cannot play in the Super Bowl. But they won't do it, right?
Every time you say
if you did that, like, New England, like that part of the country would protest.
Like, every time you say that name, though, I keep thinking of Tom Hardy. I think, so you think I cheated on the Super Bowl? No, I don't.
Anyways, we're boring people with.
Oh, hello, Batman.
You guys are horrible.
Hello, Batman.
Oh shit! Wyland just—I did not see that, but it's cool. It's a figure of Daryl from The Walking Dead. That's really cool, man.
Fucking chat crapped out on me again. I don't know why it always does that to me.
Because it's not the greatest chat in the world. But
I mean, literally, the last thing I saw was Slager asking me how to improve the stream.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on improving the stream actually. So, anyways. Let's move on to Sweetos. Anybody got a Sweeto of the week? Nobody? I do.
I was going to say my Sweeto goes to the return of fucking television, finally. Like, everything goes away because of the holidays. Like, oh my god, it's Christmas, we gotta go off the air. Like, everybody record your shit. And actually, we have nothing to do. Let us
I
watch
do have stuff. A Sweetos, but I can't talk about any of them.
Well, don't then.
So, like, the shows like The Flash and Arrow are all back, and I'm happy again. Yay.
My Sweeto is I saw this movie called American Sniper. Regardless of how you feel about the real life person, the movie was actually quite good. I actually really enjoyed it.
Fuck
it was,
everybody who has comments on that movie.
No, it's fine. Like,
oh, well, fuck you too, man.
If you just look at it as a movie and not a work of stuff that actually happened, then it's fine. There were a lot of tense moments in that movie that I was like, wow, it was really well done. So I give big props to that. All right, we're going to go on
to... Hang on. I have a Sweeto real quick. I mean, okay, it's local. Ahead. It's a very local kind of thing. Uh-huh. But I've recently begun to start getting more involved with my local Free Thought Society. Mm-hmm. And I've met a young man who is, you know, someone who I've actually found that I admire quite a bit. His name is Matthew Facciani, very Italian name, very nice young man, but very active politically. He decided to, when I mentioned before the amendment that came into subcommittee, he was the gentleman who spoke before this committee trying to present scientific evidence regarding the amendment regarding fetal pain. And he's just someone that's like, you know, that I found that I can, you know, really appreciate. And it's like, I appreciate your drive. You have, you know, I really hope you go into politics one day, and I really, you know, I will support you to the end because, you know, as long as you, you know, you're sticking with the principles that I see that I agree with here.
They never do.
Yeah.
They never do.
I don't know. You never know. Sometimes every once in a while you have someone like Bernie Sanders, who I still think is friggin' awesome, but yeah, you know, he strikes me as cut from that, as cast from that same die.
Yeah, that's.
I hope he does, but I'm very. He's an awesome guy, and I like him.
Yeah. All right, Eric. Let's move on to your review of The Equalizer, and then we're gonna get in some really cool free for all topics.
First of all, The Equalizer. Its title doesn't make any sense if you think about it in the context of the film.
He kills everyone.
Yeah.
Equal rights, equal death for everyone. You get a bullet. But, you get a bullet. Everyone gets a bullet.
This is Denzel Washington being a badass.
Oh, fuck
Denzel. I love Denzel being a badass. I'm down with that.
Yeah,
he's an asshole.
This movie.
And
he's a good actor.
How old is he now? Like in his 50s?
I think people need – like they're way too invested in celebrity lives and what celebrities think and do. Like,
well, no. He is prejudiced against atheists, so fuck him.
Yeah, but look, O.J., as far as we know, may or may not have killed that woman.
But he was really good in Naked Gun 33 and a third.
He was.
Let's put it this way. I will watch a Denzel Washington movie. I will not pay to watch a Denzel Washington movie.
That's fair enough, I think.
Okay, this movie, you're not supposed to know this until later, but I'm going to spoil it anyway. But basically, he was like – apparently he used to be a spec ops guy or like some kind of CIA counterterrorist unit, and he has a lot of military training. But he – quit that life and decided to become the owner of a of a Home Depot-like place called, like, I think it was literally called a Home Mart or something.
He was just a worker there. At the – it's like a Home Depot.
But like, for a worker there, he still makes decent money because he has a lot of it. Because he was ready to pay these – he meets some girl in this diner that he goes to after work. And they're chatting up. I guess they started like a small friendship. And apparently she was actually a prostitute for the Russian mafia. Mm-hmm. And
which movie was this again?
It's The Equalizer.
But she came back from one of her clients, and she apparently fought with him because he was doing sexist things and being inappropriate, basically, even though she is a whore. But I guess he was doing stuff that just crossed some kind of boundary. But her pimp, I guess, beat her up because of this. But so he decides to kill them all because he can, I guess. And he's not worried at all about the law. And of course, this guy ends up being like a huge kingpin in the area, and he's basically untouchable. So local law enforcement, it's unreliable, and the feds, I guess, are equally unreliable.
Yeah, that's par for the course. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So he decides to take matters in his hand and stop the drug ring and get rid of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to live a reclusive life, but shit just...
Well, first he just decided to just get revenge on the girl by killing all of the guys at the club that I guess she works for. And he inadvertently attracts the attention of the kingpin.
Yeah.
And the kingpin sends some fixer who tries to eliminate anybody who causes problems. And he's like some ex-Spetsnaz guy.
Yeah, this movie is actually really well made. Like, it's pretty formulaic. Like, people are pointing out in chat, like Slagar said.
The only problem I had with it is that I think Denzel was too much of a badass, and he wasn't very challenged
as a character.
Towards the end, maybe, because, I mean, he didn't have any real conventional weapons at that point. He started using, like, nail guns and shit and drills to kill people.
Yeah, pretty creatively, I might add. I was actually really surprised. Like, you know, I like this movie. I really do, man. It surprised me.
Nothing about the movie is, like, far-fetched. I mean, still somewhat grounded in reality.
Yeah, it is far-fetched, but it's Hollywood, man. I mean, it's
not, when I'm saying far-fetched, I mean, like, he isn't doing anything that, you know, it would be considered impossible.
Well, I think the thing about, you know, the whole concept of far-fetched is a very nebulous one. Mm-hmm. A lot of it depends on how rooted in reality your character is to start with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was pretty on point, man. You're right, man. But some of the stuff that you see is just really like a lot of superhero stuff. Like I don't care if you're Iron Man, if you're going out, like
Brad Pitt syndrome, where basically doesn't get hurt until the movie needs him to get hurt.
Right.
That's called a plot contrivance.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, that's fine too.
As long as they don't overuse that. Because like, I remember
and he's apparently very good at like calculating the time it would take to do something.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's good stuff, man. I like the movie quite a bit. What would you give it?
I'm probably gonna give it 6.5, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd give it like a 7. So, you know,
I still haven't seen anything since the new Godzilla. So,
oh, I like the new Godzilla, man.
Yeah, I've already talked about why I didn't.
Equalizer had a quick turnaround too.
Yeah,
like, what do you mean by quick turnaround? Like, what, that was filmed like quickly,
I'm pretty sure the movie came out in like October or November or something.
You mean like time between theater and home video release?
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's commonplace nowadays. I mean, it used to be like 9 to 12 months, but in the last decade or so,
they planned to do like a a small theater run and then quick to video.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, actually, that's not uncommon nowadays, where smaller studios, distributors will do like a very limited theatrical run and then do a direct to video release, which I think is kind of awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of that,
they typically do that for the Ghibli films, but I think Ghibli films have a longer waiting period.
Speaking of that, I'm going to have a review of the movie The Interview next week because I'm going to watch it sometime this coming week. It's going to be out.
You going to Redbox it?
No, it's coming out on Netflix tomorrow.
So. No. Oh, I didn't know that. I've been curious about it, but I haven't really been quite willing to spend the time.
Well, as long as you don't pay anything additionally.
No, look, I wouldn't mind paying for that movie. I mean, if it's a good movie, it's a good movie. Look, I spent $40.
I hear it's not a good movie, though.
I've heard reviews from different people. Some people really like it. Other people really don't.
Here's the problem.
If you go in and just expect it to be a comedy, you should be all right. If you're looking for like a good movie, it's probably not a good movie.
Well, the last movie I watched that was like really like, well, that looks really good, then turned out to be like incredibly bad was This Is the End. I hated that movie. I was so pissed off that I spent
that
money on it.
That's what I've heard. I've heard people like, I want to see that, and everybody's been telling me, no, it's not good, so I've never seen it.
I hated that movie.
I thought basically all the funny shit was in the trailer. It's just dull as fuck.
No, I like that movie quite a bit. Look, the worst that I've heard about The Interview is it's a Seth Rogen movie. If you don't like Seth Rogen, you're not going to like it. If you like Seth Rogen, which I happen to like Seth Rogen.
Yeah, I like him. Like Pineapple Express was pretty damn funny.
Oh, I love that movie.
Never saw that one.
That's a pretty funny movie. I was surprised. I liked it.
Seth Rogen's pretty good, man. I mean, he's not the greatest actor in the world.
I don't have anything against him. He seems like a nice guy. Oh, speaking of Seth Rogen, did you guys see, how he and James Franco kind of got their start on, what was it, Freaks and Geeks, or was it Undeclared?
Yeah.
One of those two.
I think it was Freaks and Geeks.
One of those two, one of those myriad early 2000s Fox series that got canceled before its time. But there was there's YouTube game where they use like the captions where you can kind of choose your own adventure adventure game your way through it. And where I saw this thing where they were playing their way through this version of the game, and it's just like both of them strike me as just like amazingly appreciative of the fans who are devoted to the stuff they do. I'm like, they both seem like really cool guys, like just, good to their fans. I'm like, I appreciate that. It's like, even if I'm not a fan of your work per se, if you're good to your fans, then I will like you as a person. Kind of like the exact opposite of Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Weiland says Seth Rogen killed the Green Hornet. So fuck him. Yeah. That was the one movie I don't even like to remember that movie existed. Other than that, though, he's put out some good stuff. But
I never saw it.
Does it shit on the TV show?
Look, we got to move on, guys.
What's the TV show? Was just a pale imitation.
No, it's a terrible movie, man. It has nothing to do with TV show. It's just not.
No, a terrible movie is not necessarily a bad movie, or vice versa. Like then again, I like Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh god, that was horrible.
horrible. I know it's horrible. That's why it's fun.
So bad. All right, let's move on. Free for alls. We got a few fun free for alls for us this week. The first one being free range children. I don't know if you guys have heard of this concept. I don't particularly know why it's a big fucking deal.
I prefer my children in cages.
No, it's in quotes.
Children should be not seen or heard.
But basically what happens is parents actually let their kids walk to and from school or to the 7-Eleven, like, how we used to when we were kids, go to the local store.
When I was a kid, I remember my parents kicking me out of the house, telling me to go. Get out of the house, and
that's such a strange dichotomy between now and then. It's like it was, get out of the house, don't come back until dinner time. It's like, I don't want to see you until the streetlights come on.
Right. So basically,
first of all, why are they called free range? It's like we're treating them like food
like
now.
Chickens.
I do find that funny. But anyway, go ahead.
But basically, these quotes.
And there's another word for that. That's called being independent.
Right. Right, these independent kids. So this couple's getting in trouble and investigated by Child Protective Services for letting their kids walk to school, walk home from school. And I don't know why
I let myself ride the bus. Our bus route made it like impossible to get home quickly, so I could have just walked in the time that it took on the bus.
Right. I mean,
when I went to elementary school,
I was a stupid kid. I should have just walked.
Well, that's the kind of
there were times I walked to school.
Yeah, yeah, that's the dichotomy of our modern age. Like, we have so much technology. We're so we have all this information at our fingertips, and yet it's made us so paranoid.
You know what people are afraid of? Letting their kids walk home from school to and from and to the stores and
I'm not having apprehension about letting kids walk home in L.A. where just
I wouldn't.
This thing happened.
I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, I understand it to an extent. My stepdaughter, she's 14 years old. She is a very pretty girl, and I worry about her. I worry about her well-being. But I also trust her not to be a complete fucking idiot.
Look, I'm
talking more about, like, you know, bad parts of L.A.
Look, yeah. I don't care if you're in the bad. WickedCon is. I'm going to try to put together WickedCon in Compton this year. That's where WickedCon is going to be held.
In Compton?
Am I afraid? Hell no, I'm not afraid. I mean, come on.
Yeah, because you're not white.
Crazy motherfucker named Frank Branches.
Well, nobody else thought that was funny. Damn.
There's going to be white people.
Sounds straight out of Compton. Crazy motherfucker named Frank Branches.
Look, guys. Look, this is all much ado about nothing. Your fear of your niece being whatever abducted or anything is totally unfounded, man. It happens, right? There have been
kids. I mean, what I'm saying is, like, I'm not like paranoid about it. It doesn't mean I'm not concerned about it. It's like, you know, when she's out of the house, because that kind of thing, it is more common nowadays.
You know,
one thing I'd rather have children do is like, okay, you're worried about them getting jumped by gangsters or whatever.
I mean,
then you should be probably traveling in pairs rather than alone.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and one thing is, Frank, that is relevant. I mean, granted, I grant that it kind of skews my perspective, is that one of my wife's best friends, mm-hmm. when she was 14 or 15, was kidnapped, raped, and murdered.
Okay. Look, that – I can't speak to that. Look, personal experiences I'm throwing out, Moria, because, you know –
I understand that. I'm saying – but I asked you to understand the fact that I realize that it's irrational to apply that to my stepdaughter's
– Listen,
but it does impact my perception.
Right. I understand that. That's horrible. There's no question about it, right? But it's like being afraid of getting hit by lightning. I mean, it happens. Like, people have been hit by lightning. But do you know how rare it is? I mean, how many people do we have in the United States? 500 million, somewhere around there? I think it's somewhere around 500 million. I could be wrong, but
I don't think – I think it might be a little less.
Maybe even a little less. But
now I have to look it up.
Let's say 500 million, right? Okay, 500 million people. How many people have been struck by lightning? I mean, it's minuscule. I mean, it's like throwing a piece of rice in a fucking desert, you know? I mean, you'll never – you know, it just doesn't happen, man.
316.1 million at the end of 2013.
I was correct. Yes. I was finally right about something.
First time for everything.
Look, it just doesn't happen.
For you.
I know.
Yay, Breaker, Stealth, or whatever your fucking name is.
Specifically to you, Moria, you have a reason to be afraid, but trust me, dude. I am, you know, my level of concern letting my 6-year-old daughter go play in the park that's right here, or even letting them, you know, walk around the block, or my level of concern is zero. I have no concern.
Let me say this, that my concern doesn't impact my actions.
Yeah.
I mean, I still allow her, you know, she's still allowed a fair amount of autonomy. She's 14.
Okay.
She's 14. She's actually the one that I'm going to be doing the Let's Play channel with, the generation gap thing that I talked about before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, she is a very attractive young woman. She's a beautiful girl, and it's just like, you know, I can't help, you know, worrying about her.
Occasionally
want to strangle
her.
Okay,
well then, if you don't want to worry, then don't tell Frank where she is.
Well, there's that, and that's a very, very good. That's actually probably the best point that's been made this entire episode.
That's jailbait, man. Wait till she's 18, then we'll talk, man. 4 years from now,
dude.
Maury.
That I would go far as to say that was fucking amazing. I am in love with you tonight because that was just fucking. That was that good.
Oh man, you guys are sons of bitches, man. But I mean, seriously, this is honestly much to do about nothing. If you Moria, if you let your kid or your niece go to the store, how big of a deal is that? Like, honestly, if it was like less than a mile away,
I understand that. But the thing is, like, but there's also the point. I mean, you have kids of your own, right, Frank?
I have two.
Yeah, but I mean, you also know that it only takes a couple seconds for something to go really, really wrong.
Dude, I am not concerned in the
least. I understand. It's balancing out that irrational fear versus practical reality.
Yeah, reality is
I have to allow my stepdaughter some autonomy. She is her own person. I mean, we do exact some measure of control. We do monitor some things to make sure, like, if there are things like there. Just as an example, we use an app on our phone that monitors for certain words that pop up on our texting, things like cutting, pregnancy,
or
killing.
Or selfie, I'm guessing. Sexting
but,
and
I mean,
selfie.
Things that might be indicative of problems. We see that.
And if people who think I'm sort of making a joke, but sexting and selfies are very big in high school right now.
Look,
I'm not worried about my stepdaughter having sex. Worried about it. She's smart enough. She's smart enough to know the consequences because she was raised. You know, when she grew up, she dealt with one of her aunts having to deal with it. I mean, she's had to grow up early because she has a special needs brother along with a lot of other issues and everything. But it's like I understand that, you know, she. For a 14-year-old, she's very mature, but she's still only 14 years old, I can't help worrying.
I would be way more concerned with my 14-year-old having unprotected sex than being abducted.
No, that's the thing. I'm not worried about her on having unprotected sex. I know that she's smart enough and she understands the consequences well enough that I don't worry about her having unprotected sex.
See, I would be more worried about that than being kidnapped, Moria. I mean, the numbers say so. I mean, the statistics are way more in favor of her
having unprotected sex. Let's not use statistics because statistics can be manipulated.
She is not the numbers. She is the product of her environment. And, you know, and her environment means that she knows – you know, she has had.
So what? So what, Mug? She knows. I mean, there have been plenty of people, plenty of teenagers.
I'm also progressive enough to understand that, you know, this is a possibility. Right. If it comes to that, then we'll deal with it.
Yeah. See, here's
condemn her for her decisions. I may not approve of them, but I won't condemn her for
this.
This
is comparable. My son is 12 years old. And he's almost 13. I'm way more afraid that he's going to have unprotected sex than him get abducted and killed by somebody. Like, it's not even a thought in my mind. And I'm not even all that concerned just because what you said. He's super smart, and then you deal with those things if they come,
I think you and I are closer to being in agreement than either of us probably realizes.
Right. Right. No, I know what you're saying, Mug, but it just – I mean, for reference, I think – I don't know if you've seen it, but the TV show Bullshit with Penn and Teller, they did a whole Stranger Danger thing on there.
I've seen that episode.
It's excellent. And they had an example just like this. This woman in New York let her son – ride the subway, and it was a big story. People were so outraged by it, and she's like, to me that's akin of a kid rakes leaves, you know, that's what the headline. I mean,
well, the thing is, you also have to remember that's essentially that's we're talking about an argument from an anecdote, and those aren't evidence in either direction.
No, we're not talking about that. I mean, I'll refer you to that episode after you see that episode. I think it's on YouTube. Then you know, I don't have all the statistics and all that, but they do a really good job of breaking it down. Like, it happens, but it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I understand. But what my point is that it's not. I guess what I'm trying to get at, it's not something to be discarded as that's not a potential problem.
And you know,
because it is a potential problem, but it's not the all-encompassing, like, this is what you should be worrying about right now kind of thing.
Look,
it's like, I worry because I care.
Well, so do I. I care for my kids as much as you care for your niece,
yeah,
man.
I mean, I agree with you.
You can't.
My point is that it's like, I worry because I care, but it's not the primary thing that I'm concerned about.
Right.
Yeah, I'm mostly concerned about her making sure that she does what she's supposed to be doing, that she takes care of her grades and that kind of thing. I mean, the kind of thing that a parent should be worrying about. You know, like, in an ideal world, these are the kind of things that a parent should be able to focus on without being distracted by everything else.
Right. And being abducted should not be one of them. Does it happen? Yeah. Yes, it does. But
the odds are very much against it.
They're
and I
very
understand that. But that
minuscule.
Yeah. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, I love this girl. You know, she's as close to my own blood as I'll ever have.
You're using an argument from personal experience, and that really skews your judgment.
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, that because of the, you know, because of what happened to my wife's friend as a child, you know, that means that everyone should be paranoid, and I'm not saying that, but it's like, I can't help the fact that it kind of skews my own perspective. I try to keep that in mind.
You know, at the very least, at least you admit it
oh,
does
yeah.
skew
I mean,
your
I try to
perspective.
Be, you know, I try to be conscious of that. And you know, again, this is one of those, like, I think you and I are more in agreement than we realize.
Mm. Well, let's move on to another topic. Moria, this will be the final topic. We went a little long on child abduction and free-range children like chickens. Let's move on to a topic you brought up, Moria. Let's talk about this. Hobbit fan edits. You were kind of explaining this before.
Oh, yeah. What's happened now is, like, you know, a lot of people, when the Hobbit first, like, the first Hobbit movie came out, people were like, boy, there's a lot of stuff in here that wasn't part of the original book. I've read the original book once, so I don't have the best frame of reference when it comes to that. I've also only watched the first movie. But apparently, as I understand it, as I'm led to believe by people who are much more, you know, ferocious fans of Tolkien's work than I am, that there's a lot of stuff that's either been kind of extrapolated upon, added in by, or just, like, you know, added in, you know, based on stuff in the Silmarillion that was not part of the original book of, you know, The Hobbit, where it doesn't really revolve around the adventure of Bilbo Baggins, who was the central character of the original book. And so what some folks, some enterprising folks have done is to take the footage from, you know, like, Blu-ray rips of the first two movies and, like, high quality, I don't know, cam rips or whatever from the third film, and edit them down, like, pare it down to, like, just the material that's contained within the original book. Mm-hmm. And some people are, you know, like, oh, this is good because it doesn't feel so bloated. And I will admit that the one Hobbit film that I watched did feel a little, I guess, overlong. It's like, okay, this is cute, but it doesn't really feel like it's adding anything to the story, kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And just paring it down to where it's just like a, kind of a leaner, meaner version of the story. And I've seen some people are like, they regard fan edits as, like, entitlement, like, you know, just the, you know, geek, you know, ge- you know, fanboy entitlement. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's necessarily the case in an instance where you have a director who is, you know, very consciously expanding upon what's already there. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's wrong to do so, but it's also interesting to see a fan interpretation of what's, you know, of what has been made available versus the original intent as professed by the original writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of curious as to you guys, you know, like if you'd seen any of that and what's your opinion on what, you know, even if you hadn't, like what you had, you know, what you might think of that kind of thing.
I've heard of some of the same things that you level towards the Hobbit movies, that they're overbloated, which, you know, is fine. I like you, I've seen the first one. I have not seen the subsequent two. I don't have a problem with it either way. You know, if you pare it down and you make one movie out of the three, you take out all the bullshit and you make a fan version of it, great. Just don't sell it. You know,
yeah,
don't,
and that's kind of the way I felt. Because I mean, in my case, my initial exposure, and I'm sure that some people will find this to be, you know, an unforgivable sin, but my initial exposure to Lord of the Rings was the first movie in 2001. Mm-hmm. I watched that and I was like, wow, how did I miss out on this? I need to go read these books. So I read the entire trilogy, and then I saw the second two Lord of the Rings movies in the light of, like, this is, you know, I had read the books, I was familiar with them, and I had an idea of what to expect. So, because I remember, Shelob the spider, the spider queen thing, I was thinking that, okay, is that going to happen at the end of the Two Towers movie? It's like, no, it doesn't, because chronologically the book, it works out, you know, it happens during the events of, like, the big battle in the final movie.
Right. Return of the King.
It all, right? And yeah, exactly. But it all works out. And so I had this weird kind of, I wasn't quite the purist. Yeah. I was a fan of it. I was like, I really enjoyed it, but I was introduced to it because of a film, I was introduced to it because of an adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I had a different, I took, I didn't have that purist fanboy sort of love for it that I do for, and actually there's a series, a franchise that I do have that kind of purist attachment to, and that's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Hmm. Like, I hate the movie of that film. Or rather, of that series.
I don't understand the hate for it. Like, I know it deviated greatly from the book.
Well, but I can explain exactly why I don't like the movie. Okay. There were a lot of things it did right. I liked, a lot of people were like, most deaf as Ford Prefect was all wrong. Actually, I liked him as Ford Prefect. I didn't like Zooey Deschanel as Trillian.
Okay.
Because I thought that, you know, one of the things that basically kind of, you know, encapsulated the character of Trillian for me was that she's supposed to come off as smart, kind of a quiet confidence and competence. And she, to me, in the movie, she was just sort of there. Mm-hmm. And also Zaphod Beeblebrox. I like Sam Rockwell. I think he's a great actor. Moon is a fucking amazing movie.
Yeah, I like that movie.
This is not his fault. I think it was just the fault of the writing. Is that in the books and in the original radio drama and in the television series, Zaphod is essentially this kind of a bumbling ne'er-do-well who means
and he's
well.
Just a complete madcap idiot in the movie.
Well, and not just that, he's also kind of a complete dick. I mean, he's like, he comes off as more like, rather than just being like, yeah, whatever, you know, like this kind of whatever attitude, like this is what's supposed to happen, and I'm not entirely sure if this is what I want to happen, but hey, whatever. I'm that kind of guy. I roll with the punches. He comes off as more of a dick to Arthur in the book, rather in the movie. And the other thing was that with Arthur, I think Arthur was given way too much agency in the film, whereas he's supposed to be kind of like the hapless observer in the original series and in the book and everything. And it's like he is, you know, what he does right. Like the thing with the nuclear missiles and when he hits the infinite improbability drive and everything, is like he happens to save the day. And it's just, you know, it comes off more like, you know, he knows what he's doing. And the entire point of the series is that he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a fish out of water the entire time. He's never able to adjust.
So you, basically, you're just nitpicking nuances of characters.
I mean, in some folks' opinion, that you know, I mean, I'm sure there are people who will agree with me, and there are people who won't agree with me. But I mean, I don't think that necessarily makes my opinion any more or less valid. But you know, the point being that, like, I understand that, you know, that people may or may not agree with me, but I hope they understand that I have reasons for why I feel the way I do.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah, it's not just fine. That this sucks or this is awesome, which is – and that I can't stand that kind of mentality. Why don't you like this? It's just bad. No, it's not just bad. There's a reason why you don't like it, or why do you like this? It's awesome. That's not a reason. You know, I want to know what it is that appeals to you.
I think the biggest problem with that movie is that they tried to shoehorn it into, what was it, an hour and 45 minutes?
Or something that, like that. That movie, the thing is, the original Hitchhiker's Guide isn't even that long.
Yeah.
But that's like, but I just felt like
It's like 5 hours long book.
Yeah.
And you made it like less than a two-hour movie.
Yeah, see, yeah. Well, that's the
Douglas
problem.
Douglas Adams, like, is also notorious for his tangents.
It should have been at least two movies. At least, yeah. And
I mean, and I've thought about this when I went back and I was like, I've always had this attitude where I try to reevaluate my positions on things. Like, I'll find that I don't like to eat whatever. Like, I don't like squash. I can't stand squash. It's fucking gross.
But every
like 7 or 8 years, I'll go back and I will try squash because my tastes change.
Yeah.
And I've always gone back and I've tried it and it's like, nope, I still don't like it.
Yeah, it's like, for me, it was black olives. I used to hate
I think
black
because
olives. Oh, yeah, I can't tell.
One reason you should hate the Hitchhiker's Guide movie is because it did so badly and we won't get the other books in the movie.
Well, and not even just that, though. It's like, I didn't like that. It's like, one of the things that I actually kind of had the biggest problem with regarding that was that it felt like it was trying to shoehorn Trillian and Arthur together, when one of the main things of the books is that they never
– Nope.
get together.
Hmm.
And, you know, and I'm a, like, one of the things that, for me at least, I'm a big fan of audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And my exposure to The Hitchhiker's Guide came through the form of the audiobooks as read by Douglas Adams.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely in love with, it's like, Douglas Adams was a frustrated performer who got, you know, kind of got railroaded into the job of writing. And it's like, it comes through. It's like, and if you understanding that about him, reading it, it's like interviews and stuff with him, understanding that about him, it gives a certain insight into a lot of his work. It's like, I don't know if you guys have ever read the full series.
No,
Mostly Harmless.
I got to So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, and I stopped reading. I need to get back to it.
Yeah, like, Mostly Harmless, he wrote because he was essentially press ganged into it. And it's written in this, like, he's angry the entire time he's writing, and it comes across in the writing, and he's annoyed.
The book didn't feel very good.
No, it's like he's snarky.
You're definitely bored when you wrote this.
It's like he's sarcastic and irritable the entire time. It's like he's talking about, like, you know, life in New York. It's like, you know, one of the most amazing things about life is where it's prepared to put up with living. It's like, it will even live in New York, though it's hard to know why. And, like, one of the comments that he makes is like, you know, in fall the air smells as if someone's been frying goats in it. And if you're keen to breathe, the best thing to do is to open a window and stick your head in a building. Like, yeah, to me, yeah, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Well, this has been actually a fascinating topic to talk about. I didn't expect to get so much response, guys. But I'm with you.
I think we're boring people because we're talking about Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Son of a bitch.
Actually, I know I've gotten way off the topic. I didn't mean to get into Hitchhiker's Guide. That's my nerd obsession. There was a fan edit of the original prequel trilogy of the Star Wars movies, where they I'm pretty certain I've mentioned this in the past, where they open up with the final lightsaber duel at the beginning, or rather at the end of The Phantom Menace, because the rest of the movie is pretty much, you know.
No, the rest of the movie has moments. It has good.
Look, it has moments. And I will say that I know I've said this before, but The Phantom Menace is not nearly as bad as Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, Attack of the Clones. The problem with that is most. It's like what. 3/4 of the movie are really boring. It doesn't get interesting until like the end.
Yeah, and I'm
ham-fisted romance parts.
And an investigation. Obi-Wan is like a detective.
Attack of the
Clones was really hampered by the fact that whatever plans Lucas originally had for it were derailed by the extreme negative reaction to The Phantom Menace, and he had to rewrite a lot of stuff.
What was the third one called? Episode 3?
Revenge of the Sith. Which I think was
great until the last like 5 minutes.
That was
with the no
best
part.
Yeah. Revenge of the Sith was not a terrible movie.
No, I liked the third one.
It had some really stupid shit at the very end of it.
Yes, that, the last 5 minutes was actually.
You're on high ground. This is totally Yu-Gi-Oh! Now. Power bonus.
Oh, dude. Look, the episode 3 was the best of that trilogy.
Yeah, I would very definitely agree. I
mean, but anyways, like, look, guys,
the edit you can find. I'm pretty certain you can find on torrent sites and stuff. If you guys are interested, you can ask me. I know I've got a copy of it saved somewhere. I'll find the name of the edit for you if you're interested.
Since we're on that subject of Star Wars too, let me just say George Lucas gets way too much hate.
He deserves
a lot more respect than he gets.
Fuck him.
Well, I think the thing is, the problem is with the prequel.
And he is not going to be involved in the next Star Wars movies.
Thankfully.
Yeah, but he was surrounded by yes men, and he's the kind of creative guy where he has lots and lots of ideas, but he needs people to say no to him.
Exactly. Which is why he wasn't like the total when he did episode 5 and 6. He wasn't the person totally in charge, you know?
He wasn't the director of either.
He's a terrible director.
Irvin Kershner and Richard Marquand were the directors.
Kershner handed those hands off because he trusted the people.
Guys, we got to run. But
but I'm just saying he came up with ingenious ideas. Star Wars is great. He's worked with Clone Wars, which is what me and Waylon were talking about in chat, and Clone Wars is one of the best cartoons I think that's ever been made.
As long as he doesn't direct anything, he's fine.
Yeah, and I honestly think that when you get right down to me, George Lucas, whether you like what he did with his creation eventually or not, I mean, some people do.
You can tell Indiana Jones like was a yes man type movie too. The last Indiana Jones.
The Last Crusade?
Not the Last Crusade.
We gotta run, last guys.
Movie, the, oh, you mean the Crystal Skull? Yes,
guys,
I would agree.
We gotta go. Moria, plugs, please.
Plugs. You can find me on Twitter at Moria Mug. I'm actually planning to do a short Let's Play type session, or as what I call Let's Drink, because I am pretty drunk at this point, where I will be playing Saints Row. Gat Out of Hell. You can find me on twitch.tv/MoriaMug, MoriaMug. If you're interested, feel free to join me. And, that applies to you guys too. And I will be interacting with the audience or whoever chooses to fire questions at me.
I'll try to make it, man. All right, anything else? All right, Eric, you.
Plugs would be at EricRPG. That's my Twitter account, and I have a YouTube channel, Funny T Man. I got a snack review up of crispy M&Ms.
Oh, sweet!
Oh, the things that taste like you just got ripped off.
Hey, you don't like them?
No, crispy M&Ms. Are we talking about the things that have crispy inside of them?
Yeah,
Mug. Let's keep that for next time. Let him get through his plugs. Man.
Anyways. You can also find reviews at totallygn.com and gametactics.com and vognetwork.com and Boss Bass Brigade. And
Vog? Like V-O-G?
Vog, yeah, V-O-G.
Like Vogons.
Yeah, and, they're another podcasting network. They're
getting,
a lot more
getting
popular
back on the Hitchhiker's Guide theme.
And
I will talk for hours.
Eventually, HonestGamers.com as well.
And that's not entirely true. break. By
the no, way. I meant then our show, not the network.
Then our show, yeah.
I didn't mean the network. I meant our show in general.
What about our show? I missed it.
Anyways, continue on, Eric.
That's all I have to say, actually.
All right, break. Plugs.
Follow at @break_man, @RPGrinders, and @stealth in the underscores behind his name, since he isn't here.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
One last little note I want to say, just touching back on our earlier subject. The thing I liked most about the Hitchhiker's Guide movie, the thing that I thought they did perfectly, Stephen Fry and the visual visual design of the guide.
Oh, Jesus awesome. Christ. If I never hear anything about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy from now until whenever, I'll...
No,
well,
no.
Well, now we're going to bring it up every show. God damn it, Frank.
Every single time.
All right, my plugs. Everybody, please check out wickedradionetwork.com. Bunch of cool-ass shows, nice website. There's going to be some improvements. The live stream's going to be better eventually. I can't tell you when, but we're not going to use Ustream. In the near future, there's going to be, like, you know, shows playing in the background if you want it. There's going to be some cool stuff on wickedradionetwork.com. So check it out. And I think that... Oh, Wivix and I have recorded a new podcast. I don't know if I want to reveal the name just yet, but it's going to be awesome. That'll be out very soon. Listen for further announcements.
I do have a question for you, Frank. When's GDP going to return?
I'll think about that. It may be a while. I'm going to put it on hiatus for right now because I got other matters pressing, like Wicked Radio Network.
Until it comes back, we always blame MXC for killing it.
Yeah, there you go. Just blame MXC. And Dungeon Busters Exile. And that's it. Until next week, everybody stay safe this weekend. We want to see you safe and sound. And in this chat next week. See you guys next week. Later.